From First Peter chapter 5, if you've been following along on Facebook Live, and of course, why wouldn't you have been? We've been doing a series on the scattered church from the letter of First Peter, and so we're kind of concluding that today, which is kind of fitting. It just worked out that way, that we're concluding the passage on the scattered church when we're allowed to come back and worship together. So that's kind of significant. And even better, this text actually really applies very well to all the chaos that is going on in our world right now. So we're going to look at 1 Peter, beginning in chapter 5, verse 6, and we're going to look at this text and see how it applies to the scattered church. Peter says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Now, I want you to take a minute, and if you want to raise your hand, you're welcome to. If not, that's fine. How many of you have felt anger or anxiety at some point in the last 2 months? Wow. Some of you, by the way, who have not, probably should come and counsel me. If you have gotten through the last 2 months without feeling any anxiety or frustration or anger, you might want to go into counseling, because you clearly have a handle on what's going on pretty well. We are currently dealing with a lot of things in our society, and I have to tell you, I have found some of the 2020 memes on Facebook. Did I say that right, Sam? I used to call them memes, because I'm not very hip, apparently, and my children were quick to tell me, "Dad, you're saying that wrong." So, memes. I particularly like the one where Doc Brown is talking to Marty McFly in the DeLorean and says, "Whatever you do, don't go to 2020. That's a good one. I've seen some other good ones. Some of those I probably couldn't share, but some of them are really funny. But there is kind of something interesting about this year, and it seems to have just been one bit of chaos after another. And now, just in time for the riots to start and stop, let me welcome you to hurricane season. So, and by the way, did anybody notice that we've had so much chaos that we didn't spend an entire week on the murder hornets? The murder hornets were like, they were there, and now they're gone. It's like they didn't even exist. So, I mean, that's how, if you don't know what murder hornets are, you need to pay more attention to social media. But that's the kind of year, we've been having so far. Now, I want you to think about what Peter is telling this scattered church in the context of everything that's going on around us. He says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Now, somebody help me out here. When he says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God," what does that imply? When it says "under his hand," what does that imply to the reader? If we're under his hand, what does that mean? It means he's sovereign and he's in control, right? Okay, so Peter says, all this stuff that's swirling around this persecuted church, and the church is being persecuted. He says, all these things that are swirling around you, he says, in the face of all those things, what should we do? Number one, we should be humble. Now, obviously we know that the opposite, the antithesis of humility is what? Pride. What does pride make us do? Pride makes us fall. Pride is that thing that makes us want to get even, right? It's our pride that makes us want to get even. It's our pride that makes us want to take matters into our own hands. Arrogance. We don't want. You know what? I don't need God for this one. I can fix this one myself. I'm gonna get on top of this. I got some things I want to say, and I try to remind my kids all the time. And to be honest, they're at least they don't let me follow them on Instagram. But as a social media thing, I've tried to tell them, when you put something on social media, it is there forever. And if you don't believe that, this week I believe it was the defensive coordinator at the University of Utah, was fired for a tweet from 2013. Because he tweeted something in 2013 that he shouldn't have tweeted, and it was still out there, and somebody saw it, and he got reported and lost his job. So, you know, Peter is telling these people, and of course they didn't have social media, but Peter is telling these people, number one, you need to humble yourself, put the pride away, humble yourself, and then all these feelings that you're dealing with, look, notice what he says. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you when? At the proper time, okay? So in other words, when it's time for you to be vindicated, who's going to vindicate you? God will vindicate you at the right time, and he'll do it when he knows it to be the right time, not when we think it's the right time, okay? So he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. And then he says this, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, I want to tell you that anxiety tends to be a gateway to anger, right? When we have anxiety, when we feel anxiety about stuff, we get anxious, we get frustrated, we tend to get angry, okay? And let me just be honest. I can speak from experience, because when Caleb was in the hospital in a coma, I didn't feel pitiful. I felt angry. Any of you ever felt angry when something was out of your hands? You didn't have control over it? And it was bothering you, and it was upsetting you, and there was nothing you could do, and it made you angry. And I remember I was having lunch with Winford one day, and he had come out of the hospital to see how we were doing. He and I were having lunch, and he said, how are you feeling? I said, I feel angry. He said, at who? I said, not at anybody. I'm just angry. I'm not necessarily angry at God. I'm not angry at the doctors. I'm just angry. And I said, I don't know why. I wake up angry. And it takes real work to not let that anger out on people. There are a couple of doctors in ICU who would tell you that I did not always do a good job of that. Anxiety creates anger. And so how do we deal with anxiety? Well, Peter says, look, when you humble yourselves and you give up control, that creates anxiety. You've got this anxiety because you can't do anything. He says, what do you do with that anxiety? You give it to God. You give it to God. Now, show of hands. How many of you think that's easier said than done? Right. That's why this is a discipline of spiritual maturity, okay? As we mature spiritually, we get better adept at giving anxiety to God. So these things that bother us, we're able to turn over to him. And so Peter is telling us here, he says, look, at the proper time, he's going to exalt you. So you cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, these next verses are really significant, especially in light of all the things that are going on in our country and our world right now. So he says in verse 8, be of sober spirit and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, I actually, occasionally, just to prove to people I actually have something written down up here, I will put some Greek on this paper. And so I was looking at this in the Greek, and that word where it says be self-controlled or be of sober spirit, the word there actually means self-controlled. I can type Greek, but I can't pronounce it. So if you speak Greek and I get this wrong, Dad, don't tell me. Nepsate. That's how it's spelled anyway. Nepsate. And there's one of those little squiggly marks that my computer won't make over the first E. Okay. And that means self-controlled. So he says, your spirit should be self-controlled and you should be on the alert. Now, there are a host of people who over the last 2 months have lost their control and in some manner lost their Jesus in addressing how the government's handling coronavirus and what the doctors are saying about coronavirus. And then we get into all the riots recently and the obvious brutality against the Mr. Floyd in Minnesota and all these things that happen. And we just get angry and we get frustrated at people's response. And Peter says, look, guys, when all this stuff is swirling around you in the world, there are two things you got to remember. Number one, maintain your self-control. Don't in a moment of frustration or anger say something stupid. Because let me tell you about saying something stupid. You can apologize for saying something stupid, but you can't unsay something stupid, right? You get out there and apologize to me. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it. And you know what most people are going to do? They're going to like, well, you wouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it. Maybe in hindsight, you wished you hadn't meant it. And this is why I tell people all the time in counseling, never get into a fight with your spouse. Because when you're in a fight with your spouse, nothing good is going to come from that. Nobody ever wins the argument. Some of you may think you win the argument, but you don't. The other person just gives up and walks out of the room. That didn't mean you won. That just means they were tired of listening to you. And when we get angry, we say stuff. And by the way, it may even be stuff that may be accurate, but it's probably not said with love, right? And that is, there is a real scriptural indicator that says, hey, you speak the truth, but how do you have to speak the truth? In love. And it's hard to speak the truth in love when you're angry. So Peter says, look, all these things that are happening around you in your proximity, he says, look, it's really important that you remember, be self-controlled in your spirit, okay? Allow God to give you some filter, be self-controlled, and to be alert. Now, here's the key. Why does he say that our spirit needs to be self-controlled and we need to be alert? Because these things are not happening for no reason. All these things that are happening are very simply the work of Satan for the purpose of getting you to lose your Jesus. That's what he's doing. And so Peter warns him. He says, be sober of spirit, be on the alert, because you have an adversary. Now, some of you have probably gotten in your head that the devil is out there, but he's not really your adversary. He's really after other people. I had a professor in college that said this once in class, and I've never forgotten it, and I've quoted it a million times. I haven't always given him credit for it, but anyway. He said, there are two circumstances with the devil. He's either after you, or he's got you. Those are the only two conditions in which Satan exists. They're the people he is after, and they're the people he already has. Okay? So Peter here reminds these scattered Christians. He says, look, you need to be thinking. You need to be careful, because Satan, your adversary, wants to devour you. And how does he do that? How does he devour a Christian? Because he gets us angry and he gets us frustrated and we get mad. And when we get mad, anger needs a target. And a lot of times that target becomes God or it becomes other Christians. And we get alienated and we get isolated. One nice thing coronavirus has done is it's given me a chance to watch everything on Netflix. Twice. I'm just kidding. I haven't watched everything. I have started watching this car restoration show, which is pretty funny, but that's another story. But I like these Nat Geo shows. And they show, I was watching this thing the other night about this pack of hyenas, not indigenous to eastern North Carolina, just in case. For those runners out there, don't worry, Steve. Hyenas should not be a problem. Coyotes maybe, but not hyenas. Hyenas, what they do is when they're attacking an animal of superior power, they work as a team to get one isolated from the rest of the group. And once they get that one isolated where it doesn't have any help, they can, as a group, attack it and take little pieces and eventually wear it down and kill it. They understand how to isolate them. And so Peter says, look, this is what Satan is trying to do. Satan wants to damage our witness. He wants to damage our impact on the world. He wants to isolate us and separate us so that he can pick us off. And so Peter says, you got to be aware of this. You can't, you know, when we look at events in the world, we tend to think, well, this really doesn't have anything to do with the church or God. This is just the world. But the world is the realm of who? Satan. When I was working on this sermon, the passage that kind of popped in my head, Ephesians 6:12, right? Our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood. If you've noticed, all the protests and all the rioting and all the looting and all the responses to that, none of it's about spirit. It's all about flesh and blood stuff. And we get all wound up about it. We get upset. We get upset about politics and we get upset about government. And we let it just eat us up. And Paul said, guys, look, that's not who our fight is against. Our fight is against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual forces. It's against Satan. And when we don't recognize who the enemy is, that's when we're in trouble. There used to be this mailman in Kressel. He'd come in the store, and he told the story one time, and it tore my mama up. She could not tell this story and keep a straight face. And my mom didn't laugh about everything but this story. Mailman said he went in his yard one time, and there was this great big dog. And he said he was fixated on that dog. And so as he was trying to get the mail up, he said he was watching that dog. And he said, every move I made, I was facing that dog. I was watching him so I could keep an eye on him. And he said, then that stupid little dog snuck up behind me and took out my ankle, bit my ankle and clamped onto it. Dad, you remember that story now, don't you? I laugh. So, I mean, listen to this mailman talk about this great big, and I don't remember if it was a German Shepherd, it was some really big dog he was scared of. But what happened is he didn't have his eye on the real enemy. And the enemy was that stinking Chihuahua. That Chihuahua was the enemy, but he didn't know that. And so he had his eyes away from the enemy. And when he wasn't paying attention to the enemy got him. And tore that ankle up. I don't know if he could have gotten much higher than his ankle, but he got that ankle good. And by the way, if you've ever had anything hit your ankle, it ain't much there but bone, so that hurts. So he says, Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, but if it'll help you remember it, like a mean chihuahua. That way you'll never forget this sermon. You'll be like, mean chihuahua. Oh, I remember. Satan, the mean chihuahua. Okay. They didn't have chihuahuas in the Bible, or Peter probably would have used chihuahua. Okay. Verse 9, Peter says, but resist him, okay? And then he explains how. Resist him how? Firm in your faith, okay? How do you resist Satan? Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering. Now, this is, again, one of those words that a lot of times we study this passage, we just skip it over this word because we're focused on other words. I want you to notice what Peter says. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Now, notice he doesn't say experience. He doesn't say the same the suffering is being experienced by everybody. He says that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished. What does the word accomplished mean? It means what? Well, if you accomplish a task, what does that mean you've done? I mean, you finished it. You completed it. So Peter here says, look, listen, resist him firm in your faith because these same experiences you're dealing with are being survived, they're being accomplished, they're being completed by other Christians. Other people are surviving this, guys. Other people are getting through this. Now, why would Peter use that word? Why would Peter want the scattered church to know that other people were accomplishing this persecution? It's an encouragement. Guys, other people are getting through this. If they can get through this, you can get through this. You have the same Savior, the same faith. You have all the same equipment. Everything that God has given them, He's given you. If they can get through this, you can get through this. Okay? So it says, resist Satan. Be firm in your faith. Don't waver on your faith. And here's what we say, right? Because we got all these cute little phrases that we say that we don't believe, right? He's got the whole world in His hands. Now, how many of you think He's got the whole world in His hands? Not many of you. Okay, wow, okay. Well, I guess I know what one of our songs will be next week. People say, well, he's got the whole world in His hands. I believe that He's got the whole world in His hands. But then when things go bad, when the coronavirus hits and the protests and the riots start, all of a sudden, what do we believe now? He ain't got control of nothing. He ain't got it in His hands no more. He has put it down like my car keys and lost them. So the Lord has put the earth down and He's got busy doing something else and He's not paying attention. Now, we don't believe that. But we act like we do. So He's got the whole world in His hands, even when stuff is messed up and even when it's wrong. He's got the whole world in His hands. He says, resist Him, firm in your faith, knowing that these experiences of suffering are being accomplished. They're being completed. They're being survived by your brethren who are out there in the world, okay? So this suffering is not unique to you. Other people are enduring it. It always amazes me to listen to American Christians talk about the persecution we suffer in America. Oh, the government is out to get us. You think the government's out to get you here? Go to China. Go to Syria. Go to Indonesia. You know, there are plenty of places. Go to Egypt. If you really think you're being persecuted here, take a vacation, go on a mission trip, see what persecution looks like. Okay? So, you know, in fact, I just saw an article, and I just want to admit before I quote this, I did not fact check this. I didn't have time to read it. But I was flipping through the other day, and I saw something on my news feed that said that I think it was 24 churches have been closed in China in the last 2 weeks as the Chinese government is starting to crack down on the church. Because you know what's happened to the church in China? It's growing so fast, the Chinese government is afraid of it. And so they're starting to crack down on it. And they're starting to close churches and put people in prison. So persecution, we go, oh, it's just, oh, it's so bad here. We're still the freest country in the world. To listen to people in the freest country in the world talk like we're being persecuted. It's like, you really need to talk to people in other places. I was telling Caleb and Sam the other night, we were talking about Johnson, and when I was in school there, there was a guy I went to school with. His name was George Raines. George sold everything he owned that he could afford to sell, left his family in Liberia, and came to Johnson. He was in his 50s to study to be a minister in his home country. And George had no understanding of American culture at all. I was telling the kids one night during a basketball game, he signed up for intramural basketball. He never played basketball. He never played soccer. And somebody stole the ball and took him down the court, and somebody yelled, "Stop him, George." So George tackled him. Now, it was a slide tackle. It was a soccer tackle. It just laid the guy out. It was magical. It was fantastic. George didn't know any better. But George sold everything he had, left his family for 4 years, got his degree, went back to Liberia, and 2 years after he got home, a hit squad came to his house one night and killed him. That's persecution. So Peter says, look, resist Satan, be firm in your faith, and understand that the suffering, the experiences that you're dealing with, and in our case, a whole lot worse, those things are being accomplished. They're being survived. They're being completed by people in the world. All right, next verse. He says, and after you've suffered for a little while, okay, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, and listen to the words he uses here, perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. He says, so look, you're dealing with some stuff right now. You deal with it, okay? You get through it. You maintain your faith. You maintain your witness. You resist the temptation to get angry and to say things that you can't take back. You maintain your relationship with God. You trust him. You put your pride and your anxiety aside. You give those things to God. You get through what you're dealing with. He says, once you've had to deal with that for a while, here's the promise. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself. Now this is important. Why does Peter use that phrase? He says, he will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Because the angels can't do it. The saints can't do it. Nobody else can do it. Only Jesus can do it. And he's not going to hand it off to some peon. He's not going to hand it off to somebody else. Jesus will personally do these things for his people. He's going to perfect us. He's going to confirm us. He'll strengthen us. And he'll establish us in eternity. He's going to do those things for us. He's going to do all those things for us. Now, while we're dealing with a lot of crazy stuff going on in our country right now and in our world, and coronavirus, I mean, there's still a lot of stuff about coronavirus, you know, and if you listen to three different news shows, they'll tell you three different things about it. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. Everybody's going to die. It's getting better. It's getting better. It's not going to hurt anybody. Which one's true? You got to stay 6 feet apart. You got to do this. You got to do that. You need a mask. You don't need a mask. Which doctor do you believe? If you take this medicine, it'll fix you. No, that medicine will kill you. Who do you believe? This place is open. That place isn't allowed to be open. That doesn't make any sense to me. When was the last time government did anything that made sense to anybody? If you're shocked that the government's making decisions that don't make sense, you've not been paying attention to government for the last, how long have we been a country? 230 years? And so we get angry and we get anxious and we get frustrated and these things, they bother us and we get so mad. And boy, when we get mad, we don't like to be mad in solitude, do we? Thank God for the internet. I'm sitting at home and I'm mad. And when I'm mad, somebody needs to know it. I'm going to let somebody know I'm mad. And I'm going to let them know how mad I am. And before long, we've put stuff out there and it's like, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I probably shouldn't have said that. And so Peter gives us a pretty significant warning. He says, look, what this is really about, all these things that are happening right now, we see that it's about race and it's about science and it's about medicine and it's about viruses and it's about the police. And we see, this is what we see. Peter says, you know what this stuff's really about? It's really about your adversary. And he's using all of these things to poke you and to prod you and to irritate you and to agitate you and to get you worked up and to get you angry and to get you afraid. Because if he can manipulate you enough with all these things, if he can make you mad enough or afraid enough, then he can pick you off. He can catch you. And Peter says, if that happens, then these things won't. If Satan devours us, then Christ won't perfect and confirm us and strengthen us, establish us, because we won't be with Christ. We'll be with Satan, because he'll have us. And so my challenge to everyone today, whether you're at home watching or whether you're here in this room, as whatever happens this week unfolds, take a minute, take a breath, and try to remember that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is all manipulation of Satan to create discord and anger and fear. Now, are these real problems? Yes. And do we have to deal with them in real time because we live in the real world? Yes. They're real. But we can choose our response. We can choose how we respond to these things. We can choose how we handle them. And so Peter says that you've just got to resist the devil. You have to resist him, firm in your faith. Other people are getting through this, and if you hang on, there will come a day when the God of all grace will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. They're going to lead our communion hymn this morning, and so we're going to have a time of communion together. After the communion hymn, I think Brother Bob's going to lead us in a meditation. And so, again, we invite you, as you go through this week, we really encourage you to be firm in your faith, recognize where Satan is trying to get at you, and don't let him